This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Quickly here, Forbes has released their annual list of most valuable sports teams. So, Bart, in North America, the richest team or the most valuable sports franchise is an NFL team. And it's very obvious that it'd be the Dallas Cowboys. They are now at $5.5 billion.
Jerry's World.
And you said something really interesting to me about how they control all of their,
rights, marketing rights. Like, if you ever noticed,
their licensing?
Their licensing. Yeah, you'll never see them on a commercial with other, like, NFL teams. You'll only see them exclusively with themselves. Jerry did that very early. He don't like to share with others. So he's like, listen, y'all run y'all stuff. I don't need no community stuff. I don't need no money from y'all collectively.
Yeah, the Star is a brand unto itself.
Yeah, it's on my own brand. He's a tremendous businessman. And it's funny, oddly enough, is Snyder's never too far behind as far as, you know, out there in Washington, that team used to be worth a whole lot as well. It looked like NASCAR strapped on. I don't know what it is now, but it used to be up there in the top 10. And it's funny how when you think about some of the most valuable franchises, ain't won something in a long time.
Yeah, well, there's the Cowboys. There's one. Number two would be the Yankees. Talk about another brand, right? The NY. I mean, that's a brand.
Yeah.
And they are at $5 billion. So they're a half a billion in value below the Cowboys. They're in New York. They're the Yankees. Yeah. That's a worldwide iconic brand, the Yankees, right? And they're not as valuable as the Cowboys. Why? Because of Jerry World, that stadium.
That stadium, man. I mean, you can't compare Yankees. I mean, it's triple the capacity. It got the roof on it. And you got to think how much it even costs to even construct it, right? I mean, you down there. I mean, the what's so depressing is that Jerry's World and MetLife cost roughly about the same to build. One looks like a toaster.
Don't get me started.
And then the other one looks like
don't
like,
get me started.
Like never.
Everybody knows how I feel about MetLife. I've talked about it a million times.
The best at two.
Outside my house, I have three of those HVAC compressors. Right, you know them that are outside. The blowers, whatever they are. MetLife State. That's what it looks like. I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that's MetLife. It looks just like that. Like, what were we thinking? What were we thinking about this nondescript football stadium, which is essentially what it is? No character, no nothing. And it's New York. No dome, no roof. Not, like, what are we doing?
And they say,
and the surrounding area, I know that they're still trying to figure out the whole Xanadu thing, and I've seen it being built, and everybody's telling me how great it is, but it's not anything like Patriot Place. Nothing like that. What crafted up there is pure brilliance. And I still can't believe the Patriots aren't in the top five, by the way, of most valuable sports teams. How? So, we move on. Number three is an NBA team. And this is one that gets everybody to go, what?
The Lakers?
No, the Knicks.
Way to get him, Dolan.
And by the way, the Knicks not only are the third most valued franchise in North America, they are just slightly behind the Yankees. $400 million behind the Yankees.
Wow.
And now $400 million, that's a lot of money. I get it. That's Mike Trout. But it's the fact that if the Knicks ever did any kind of winning. Any kind of winning.
Now, they do have two teams.
Would they beat the Cowboys as the most valuable? Because it's just like the Cowboys. The building helps them. Having the garden, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks did, if Tom Thibodeau, and they get a couple, and they turn this thing into where they're just like the 90s, they're always in the playoffs. They're like the last, always a top four seed. I don't even think, look, don't even win a championship. Just be there every year consistently. Would they move past the Cowboys? Because they're basically less than a billion below the Cowboys.
And just think if Quinn and the Rangers start winning. I mean, that thing will rock out.
Well, hockey valuation is a completely different animal, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, I mean, and that's what's so, like, that's what's so discouraging, right? Because the fan base supports no matter what. Blind trust, blind faith. The Garden, you can't tell if the Knicks are, like, 20 games below 500 or 20 games above 500.
Packed, baby.
It's still going to be packed, and it's going to be hype. It's going to be entertaining. Yeah.
It's basketball. It'd be cold. It's cold. I got to go.
Saying? And it's just like one of those things. And like, hopefully that is the case. And we can see. We'll be evaluating this thing, you know, in the next couple of years and see, hey, if the winning, what happens with it? You know what
now
I mean?
The last two of the top five, the Lakers right behind the Knicks at $4.4 billion. The Knicks are at $4.6 billion, and then the Golden State. So NBA teams make up three of the top five. Golden State Warriors at $4.3 billion. Again, brand new building. The Chase Center is unbelievable. Right there in San Francisco, so in a major market. And they've had great winning. They have marketable players. A lot about the Warriors to invest in. So there's that. Now, we did, speaking of investing, again, jumping off what we said in the first hour, as we were talking about Zion and not playing at all, really barely last night, looking out of shape, looking winded, major concerns to me about him. And I said, maybe if you're a Knicks fan, you feel like you missed out more on Ja than you did on Zion. If you had to invest in a stock, and one was Zion and one was Ja Morant, which are you putting your money into? You know, that's a question, 800-919-3776. But on the baseball side of things, as we were talking about in Blitzer Prevent, and that is last night what happened to Edwin Diaz, which is another really another bad outing, another bad loss, by the way, for the Mets. I mean, another maddening loss where there's opportunity.
Two in a row.
The score, and they cannot, and pitching fails them again.
And right now.
And you bring in Diaz in a situation where it wasn't a save situation, but it was one of those just, you know, like, just let's get through this and get our bats going. And he comes in and he cannot throw a strike. He's hitting people. And you just, Bart, you have had to see this on the faces of teammates before, where you look at them and you say to yourself, that guy is, he's afflicted with doubt.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't even trust himself.
He's frozen. He don't believe in himself, and it's important for him to get ahead of the count, right? And he can't throw strikes, so he's getting behind the count. So then now he's throwing up these lollipops. You know what I'm saying? Because he's behind on the count because he has no confidence in throwing any of his secondary stuff. You know, and like, we thought that maybe a new manager, change of scenery, you know, new veterans around him, that maybe this would affect him and change him a little bit. And it's changing for the worse, man. And the last time we've seen this, we saw this with Sonny Gray. And some people just aren't built. We talked yesterday about Tom Thibodeau having blood on the ground, being from this area, understanding what it takes to be successful here. Diaz clearly isn't built for this type of scrutiny, isn't built for this
but
type of...
But there's no one in the building, Bart. You would think that... Remember we said who will benefit from not having fans in the building?
Yes.
I mean, Fox Sports, by the way, we'll get to that too. Like, I thought it was interesting to watch the game on Fox last night because they had so much extra put into the broadcast experience where you actually heard a Let's Go Mets chant. Like, you heard some pretty cool stuff that made the game feel compelling. There was a couple of moments that had tense moments, a big pitch, a big moment, and you felt it by just what you were hearing from whatever the crowd noise they were including. You know, that was a fun listen, and it's something that other sports, obviously, and other networks can pick up on. But Diaz doesn't hear any of that. Any of it. It's crickets for him. Why does he still feel pressure out there on the mound? It's got to be something internally. It's got to be something in his head.
Right, because sometimes the stillness forces you to think and talk to yourself. And because it's like, you know, I can only imagine as a pitcher, you have time to digest what you just did. Right? Sometimes when you're playing football, you just have to react. Basketball, you have to react. Baseball is thoughtful, right? You throw a pitch. You get the ball back. You're talking to your catcher about what to throw next, and you got no confidence. I would wonder and see how many times did he wave off Ramos, right? How many times did Ramos want something that he's afraid to throw because he has no confidence in it? Listen, this dude last year, after having an ERA over 5, is at a 7 ERA. That is unbelievable. I can't even believe that. Like, who is that the highest ERA in the history? Like, I mean, what are we talking about? And this is going to go down. This show's so bad on Brody. Brody went with one of his former clients saying, hey, I can convince everybody, hey, that I can get Cano and get him on a bad deal. But what made us digest and say, okay, you know what, we'll handle the Cano and what we're going to get if we get one or two, maybe 3 years of good Cano? The fact that Diaz was an ace last year, and the fact that we understand and that we know that those aces and closers are hard to find. To find our rawest Chapman, man.
If Diaz, right,
you can't
Diaz
give him away.
Up,
you can't give him away.
Remember, it was 20. Was it 23 games they lost because of the bullpen last year? If Diaz came in and was just lights out, was good, you wouldn't care as much about the Cano situation,
right?
But to me, Diaz being an absolute disaster only makes Cano even worse. Like, it makes it worse because, look, Robbie Cano. It's fine. Like, he's okay, but he should not be playing every day. He should not be playing second base. But where the hell else are you going to put him?
And he's got to play. Can't put him at first.
Well, he's got to play. And he's, he does have a bat, though, that occasionally you can use him like he did last night. He comes in, takes one pitch, makes a base hit. Okay, good. Take him out for a pinch runner, and you're all set. But I just, like, it makes it that much worse. And who is, I think it was Jerry West and others I know have said this too. Think about when you're a GM is you cannot perpetuate a mistake by trying to ignore it or trying to make it work. Sometimes you just have to look and go, no, that was a mistake, and we cannot let this now sandbag our team. I have to own it, and we just have to move on from it. I don't know how you move on from Diaz. You've got to own. He's got to own this and admit it, that this was an absolute mistake, an absolute bust, and a major concern. Just take a listen to Rojas in the post game. Now, this is the Mets manager. He's been in the organization for a number of years, and he has spent time with Diaz. Okay, and he was very optimistic about what he saw in the spring training 2.0 when he was looking at him, and he felt like, you know what? I think he's going to be a lot better this year. I think he might have figured it out, found whatever he had to find, right? But now Rojas sounds completely different when he's talking about it. Take a listen.
We need to talk. We need to work. And, you know, that's something that we're going to do, you know, as a staff, me as the manager, and, you know, we'll talk with the player, and, you know, we want to keep him in track to what he showed us in camp. That he didn't show tonight. You know, we definitely is something that from our coaching standpoint, we got to detect right away, like we did, you know, from that outing, and just, you know, work on it, fix it quick. Because, I mean, we like what we saw in the first two camps and what we saw earlier in the season. Tonight was definitely different.
So they want to work on it. They still feel there's something there.
BS translator.
Go ahead.
He got one more shot. Ooh. Because I have to, because Brody ass is in a jackpot, and Brody's going to take the brunt, and if we're going to sell this team, that owner, and especially if that owner Steve Cohen, and he understands that he's been around, and he understands that Brody wanted to bring in one of his former clients and wanted to come in and make this big trade when we had the number one prospect, and he's out there hitting bombs, and we got guys, you know, fanning at pitches when we down by one run, you know, then this is Brody's ass that's going to be in the jackpot, right? You know, and this is going to be tough to sell.
New owner usually means new management. New management, man.
Especially if it's Cohen, and he has his ideas about how he wants to run his organization. Maybe didn't even think that Brody was the guy for the job to begin with. So it's a lot of jobs on the line. And like I said, will Brody try and double down, understanding that his job's on the line, and try and make moves and make trades? But the thing is, they're losing games that they shouldn't lose, so they may not even be in contention, even with the expanded playoffs. You know, I mean, those are two games that they should have. And if you go back to the first series against the Braves, the one when they lost, five, the one where they had a great the first one in the series with the Braves where they before it started all the losing when they got their ass kicked the last couple games out. I think it was game two. You know what I mean? The Braves, when it was right in the balance.
It was 3-2.
Right, and they lost that one.
The bullpen just blew up.
Right, that's three games that they should have. If their bullpen, which they sold to us, was better than last year. We thought Familia was going to be better. He's been shaky. He's been okay. Bertanz has been good. But other than that, Wilson exploded last game against him when DeGrom was on the mound. You can't lose those type of games. You know, Seth Lugo wasn't reliable.
Lugo security blanket. You can't keep going back to that. Well, and you also have to have confidence in your you have to have a closer that you are confident in. They don't have that.
You got
to
have
and
a wipeout guy.
They do have it though in Dellin Betances.
Yeah, but are they going to put him in that role? He hasn't been put in that role before. Remember, he was always the setup guy.
He was a closer for a little while with the
right.
They did use him in that, and he does see himself as that. He has talked about that. He does see himself in that role.
Well, I don't know
on the Mets thing. What do you do, though? But what do you do? Your translator from what Rojas said is you got one more shot.
One more shot. And we will not put you in high-level situations ever.
Man, this is going to be on Brody's, on his career tombstone.
Yeah.
This trade will be on there because, I mean, could it have been any worse? The kid you sent to Seattle is an absolute stud, and the guy you got him for can't throw a strike, and the other guy you took on because of the contract
can't
is
run.
Basically in the
control.
Way.
cruise control.
And you know
what's crazy? I want to see like all the position players. I want to see Conforto. I want to see Cespedes. Well, I want to see.
It'd be nice if Conforto showed up.
Yeah, I want to see Dom Smith, Rosario. I want to see them walk into Rojas's office and lay their jersey down and say, "This is for Betances." Like the Rudy, "This is for Betances." "This is for Betances." Like, say, "Hey, we don't want to see this dude no more."
Hey, did you
the
ever
jersey
see
what, for Betances?
Did you ever see the SNL when J.J. Watt hosted?
And they I had saw like, bits and pieces of it.
It was like a Rudy type thing where there was this kid like in the locker room and everybody was like saying, you know, "No, give him jersey. He should play. He should play." And then they get to JJ Watt. He goes, "JJ, do you feel this?" "No, he sucks." "We got to win, guys." And then he's like, "All right, if you can get past me, then you can play." And then he's like, "I know every play. All right, call this play. Next play, next play." And then he finally runs out of it, and JJ just lays him out. It's like what Rudy really was like. It was classic.
Oh, man.
On the Yankees side of thing, and we don't have a lot of time to finish on this, but let me just touch on it. Aaron Judge completely saves J-Hap. Like, completely saves J-Hap. You know, Loaisiga, again, you know, normally you feel like he's going to be a guy that can give you an inning or two-pitch kind of guy. But right, you know, that middle relief is kind of what he's going to be.
Yeah.
And they love him. But he, obviously, after the rain delay, did not look good. Gave up the home run. All of a sudden, now they're trailing. Aaron Judge saves them with the big three-run shot because the Orioles are just terrible. Their bullpen's awful. Yeah. Like, they're just not good. So they win again. It's like 18 in a row they've won at Camden.
Yeah.
So no surprise there. But am I – now I need you to tell me something. You need to call me out because you're the Mets fan. I went after you. You come after me, and I was a Yankees fan. The Yankees have won four of their first five. And now they home opener finally against the Red Sox today.
Yeah.
And I can't help it. J Happ just makes me angry.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. J-Hap on the mound makes me angry, and I don't care. Like, I get it. Severino got hurt. You got it. You had to keep him.
They were trying to move.
Could you have somebody else? Someone else, please.
Serving up meatballs too, man.
Just high fastball.
Yeah, just serving up meatballs. I tell you what, man. Like, if Judge, that's what's so frustrating if you're a Mets fan, because you had Alonso up, your guy, in a position to win it, he doesn't come through. Then you look at Judge, saves the day. I mean, a little concern about Gleyber Torres and his elbow, you know. But you think maybe some ice and he'll be fine. But, you know,
he said he could have played, and he's hoping he could play today, which, you know, that'd be great. But yeah, you always worry about that. But I'm telling you, Happ's that guy. When I see him on the mound, I'm angry.
Make him a bullpen game. He needs to be a bullpen day.
No.
He needs to be like first two innings and then start bringing other people in.
Let him throw BP before games.
He's not that bad. Well, he's good against the Red Sox. Why didn't they save him for the Red Sox? Isn't he like the Red Sox killer?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
That's what they signed him.
Anthony's giving me this whole, like, you know, calm, everything's fine, calm down thing.
No,
I
just think you're overreacting about this specific thing.
Oh, what did you say to me about him versus the Orioles?
His numbers against the Orioles aren't great.
Dude, what do you mean?
The Orioles.
Is it the uniform? Because the Orioles aren't even the same team as last year. Like, they change that roster every 5 days. Like, it's not even the same group of players.
It's to obey. Like, his numbers
against the Orioles. Right, exactly. Is it crab cakes and football? Like, what's the issue? Like, is it the building? Like, come on.
He can't get right, man. Listen.
The Yankees can't lose in that building, and he still can't pitch well. Come on, man.
I mean, I'm not going into the season depending on Happ, man. Happ, he looked like a shot fighter before. You know, he doesn't look like the guy that can adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
But G. Stanton is doing well. I'm happy about that.
Yes. I'm happy.
There's a lot of things that feel good about.
They're going to cancel the season. He ain't going to have his Yankee moment.
Well, that is the other concern I do have, is the Yankees look so good, and their offense looks great, and, you know, they're having these moments. I mean, DJ has a great night, and then, you know, Aaron Judge comes up with a big night. You know, Gleyber had a really good game a couple games ago. Stanton just keeps raking. Yeah, Voit adroit. Grand slam. I stole that from Anthony. All right, Gary Sanchez can't hit and can't catch, but... All right, we'll figure that out.
The crack in the coming. He'll still find a way to hit over 20 home runs. He'll still find a way.
From your lips to God's ears in a 60-game season. That's when now I have that other anxiety of the Yankees look so good. They look like they're on their way. And, like, at some point in the middle of August, Rob Manfred's going to go, "Yeah, we've got too many teams that we've shut down, so
yeah,
we're just not going to." Like, how about this? Last team standing. The last two teams that don't have a COVID outbreak play each other for the World Series. Why don't they just do that? Like, instead of just shutting a whole league down?
Yeah.
How about instead, we're down to two teams left, so we're just going to play a World Series.
Musical chairs.
In a bubble city near you.
I am curious if they will have the playoffs, like maybe in a bubble, two bubble cities by that time.
Well, the playoffs essentially are in a bubble. It's two cities, but if you just made ALCS is in this, like in the higher seeds city, and we don't move.
Right.
Might have to do that. But I'm telling you, if I'm baseball and you're losing teams left and right because of this virus, then why not, let's just get straight into the playoffs. Let's just get this. You got to have something. You can't just end it and just not have a season. You did it in 94 under different circumstances, but find a way to play a World Series. All right, 800-919-3776. I've done enough complaining about baseball. But the Fox broadcast on the Met game last night, if you watched it, let us know what you think. I thought it sounded great. I thought the crowd, I thought it was great to hear booing. Yep. You heard, complaining. Like, I think there was a throw to first. The runner was barely leading off. People started booing. there was a Let's Go Mets chant. Yeah. Little things that made it feel a little more intense. Hey, so I wonder if anybody who watched it, let me know what you think. 800-919-3776. So we asked the question. I'm just curious about, as you watched the Met game yesterday, it was on Fox, the national game for Fox, and you heard the crowd noise that they obviously was artificial, but it was fantastic. It actually, at the right moments, made the game feel a little more intense. It's always curious what people think, and Kenny and Manalapan called to let us know what he thought. Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Bart, first of all, a long-time Jet fan. Thanks for your years of dedication. We came close, but one day we'll get the Holy Grail. And, Bart, I met you a few times at Moonwalk Casinos and Santonio Holmes bowling events a few times. We had a good time. You're a phenomenal bowler, too. I don't know if they know that.
They don't want that smoke. I've been trying to tell them I want to be a professional.
He's a good bowler, too? Is this really?
Yeah.
Now we got
to
test
this out. He was knocking them down. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I'm good at wee bowling.
getting to the broadcast, I thought, besides the sound, did you see how they actually superimposed fans into the seats when there was a
foul? That was weird.
When there was a foul ball?
Somebody walked by and all of a sudden his face was cut off because of the graphic. Like, that was straight. I guess that part, I don't know if I love that, but I thought the ambient noise, though, the crowd noise that they pumped into the
crowd
broadcast.
Noise, the microphone, it was great. It was like, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, oh, this is, you actually get a feeling for the game. Instead of being in an empty gym, it really had some good life to it.
Yeah, I thought it was done very well, Kenny. Thanks for the call. I really do. I enjoyed it. I wonder if, the other thing, that I flipped to the Yankee game and then Judge hits the home run and you hear nothing other than the Yankee dugout, which I actually found that to be cool. Like, to hear that, because you guys know this stuff, right? But when you're on the field, you know it. It way before a fan knows it, especially baseball. Players know the sound off the bat right away. And the minute you heard crack, you heard guys in the dugout immediately go you heard them all. And even Kay at first was like, he reacted immediately to that sound and had a great call.
See ya!
But to hear, here's Kay, right? Anthony, we have it. Michael Kay's call on Aaron Judge's big home run to turn the game around.
That one's here, the guys. To left field. There it goes. See ya. A three-run home run for Judge. And the Yankees come back, and they lead this one 8-6.
All that background noise are the players in the dugout. All of that. You hear it the minute that. Can we do it real quick? Just play the part where you hear the crack of the bat, and the players react right away. You hear it right there.
Those all players?
Those are players in the dugout. What do you think that is?
I thought it was piped in.
That's no one. That's not piped in.
Nice.
There's no one in the building. That's the Yankee dugout reacting. I found that to be awesome. I thought that was really cool as well. But, again, good job by Fox. And let's see if they'll use more of it. And maybe the NBA could also incorporate a little more. What'd you think of the NBA using the big screens with fans from home watching as if they're sitting in seats?
I loved it. And it's funny that because every once in a while you walk by, you see somebody, they had the little still shot of Chris Bosh, being there looking up. He always looked like the little Ninja Turtle people that's off the mutant, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like the little things that had a real broad shoulders. Anyway, but I think that's cool, man. I think that adds a nice element and really is visually appealing to, I believe, to like the viewers at home.
It's interesting.
Because you know, we know that people are watching. It's almost right. Like when we watch do this versus battle where we see like the people IG accounts and we're like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, he chiming in. Oh, he watching. Or he watching.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
they watching.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to be able to say, just like people paying to have their faces put on some of these billboards or these posters at some of these games, to have the virtual ones where people can chime in and like kind of pay to come in. I think that'd be cool. And all the money that you donate, say, like to be in the crowd, then that goes to charities. That'd be dope.
Yeah. But you know what else was cool, too, is to see behind the backboard. They also put it there to give it a little more authenticity when you're shooting a free throw, that it's not like a blank, you know, it's actually people moving around, so it can distract you.
It looks like the heads on like Guess Who. You know, the Guess Who can, you got like Bob and like all like little heads and stuff like that, man.
It was interesting. All right, more happening in the world of sports that we'll get to right now on Audio Files.
Audio File.
Well, you heard it in before we came back on the air in the commercial break during a promo about Mike Golic, who did his last broadcast in the morning show for many, many years, Golic and Wingo. And right before, obviously, it was Mike and Mike, which was a staple here, not just nationally for ESPN Radio, but also here on 98.7 ESPN. And even before 98.7, it was 10:50 a.m. And, you know, Golic's voice is one you heard in New York in the morning, day after day, year after year. And Bart, and for me, for Mike Golic, it was like listening to, and it's going to sound weird, but it's like, you know, again, it's like having a cool dad around talking sports, especially a cool dad that played, you know, and had a different perspective on things, always quick to make fun of himself, to laugh at himself.
Yeah.
But just made a guy's guy might be the greatest compliment any man can ever get. And I feel like that's my goal. It's a guy's guy, and you love talking sports. He's the guy you want to have a beer and talk sports with.
I mean, you heard
Greeny, even in the morning,
you heard Greeny talk about it as well, and you know, talking about how he kind of paved the way for the modern day athlete to not just be viewed as the jock that comes in and the funny guy. He actually was able to cross over and be able to have comments on baseball, you know, basketball, football, where it used to be where they just come in, you talk about what you know. So, I mean, in that sense, he's a trailblazer. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame, I believe that show is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you have to tip your cap. It's always hard to be one of the first. And for him to be doing it for 25 years, I think he did it for, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, round of applause for him. And I appreciate you for everything. Thanks for moving your ass over so some of those young guys can make some money.
Wow. He went there. Well, here's Golic and his final sign-off on the air.
This is why we did it, and this is why I did it for right here and what Mike just said. All the guests and all the people we mentioned, everybody was so important, but there's nobody as important than who is sitting right here on the set with you right now. Thank you all.
Got emotional there, as you would expect. So we move on. There'll be new people in the morning. There'll be some news for all of us here at the station coming soon, and we look forward to the changes, and we look forward to moving forward and continuing that legacy that Mike Golic, Mike and Mike, Golic and Wingo, all that they set. All right, moving on to baseball. Jeff Passan's on Get Up, and we told you about the Cardinals, and now there's two players testing positive there. They're being careful with. They are not going to play today. We know already. Phillies right now in a pause. The Marlins, they put them out in the middle of C. Getting them, trying to figure out that issue. And Jeff Passan had this to say about Major League Baseball deciding not to play in a bubble.
It was because nobody really wanted to, Greeny. You know, when I first wrote the story about the bubble, it was early to mid-April or so. The reaction from the players publicly was absolutely not. And this was not all the players. This was a few stars. You know, Mike Trout, for example, who's now on paternity leave, having his first child, did not want to do it. There were a couple of others who came out. But don't just blame this on the players. The teams did not want to do it either. They wanted to play in their home parks. They wanted it to look like a major league product that they were putting on television. And honestly, they could have gone out to Arizona, where, by the way, it was 119 degrees yesterday and 107, I think, at 9 o'clock at night, and played those games there. They could have gone down to Texas. They could have gone to Florida. They still, I suppose, could, but the logistics screamy that would have to take place to do so would shorten the season even more than it is right now. This is in many ways a failure by everybody involved. If you want to point fingers, you go around the room, you go, that guy, 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 and you wouldn't be wrong.
Here's the question, Bart. Why can't we then say, when the playoffs do come, if, God willing, we get there,
they come.
We go bubble. It's the higher seed, and we play there, and that's it. Nobody travels, nobody moves, nothing, and just handle it that way.
I mean, when you look at the success that we think that NHL is having and the NBA is having with having zero, you know, positive tests, everybody, you know, being safe and feeling safe and secure, how could you not consider that if you have the opportunity and the ability to do that, especially for the playoffs where you don't want to have an outbreak during the playoffs? And then what happens is now you can't reschedule the playoffs. You can't reschedule, you know, say, okay, well,
that's what I mean.
Your team's out of playoffs.
You've got to get through playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you have an outbreak, it's not like you can go, okay, well, we're going to not play this game. You have to. So they got to figure out. They should already be coming up with a plan that let's just get to that finish line. And when we get to the playoffs, now we're really going to lock this thing down. All right, last but not least, because we're tight on time here, Jamal Adams, this is on SportsCenter, talking about how happy he is in Seattle now and that he has no bad feelings for his previous team.
I have nothing but love and respect for that organization. Sure. And, you know, I really do wish them well. I truly believe, hopefully, you know, they figure it out and you know, they start, you know, competing for championships over there. And
now all of a sudden he's talking like he's a champion. I hope they can be as great as me. I hope. I mean, he also, by the way, went on to say he wants to retire a Seahawk. And as you know, as we talked about yesterday, they're not going to be extending him any type of a contract extension. And he's cool with it. And so when the Post put out a tweet that said Jamal Adams says he wants to retire a Seahawk and has a whole story, Nick Mangold put up a GIF of basically just somebody laughing. Like a bemused laughter.
Yeah, bye, Felicia. Like, you just got there, bro. You don't know nothing about the organization. You don't know how it's going to happen. What if they offer you? Are you going to have that same energy if they franchise tag you? You going to have that same energy if they don't give you a contract extension? Like, no. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney was just there last year, and they said they wouldn't franchise tag him, so they let him walk. They didn't pay him. You know, so you don't know how they're going to see you and how it's going to work out. Listen, it's going to be an adjustment period, but let's see like how things work out before you start giving them a whole bouquet of roses, talking about how great they are, opposed to how bad the Jets are. You wish as well. No, you don't, because if you wish as well, you want to be here. Like, don't give us that, man. Don't give us the fake love. If there's no love, then there's no love. See you later, man. It's been real. Thank you for giving me two first-round draft picks and McDougal, and we'll make it work with that. We okay, man. It don't have to be sunshine and roses, man. You didn't like it here. You were fed up. You wanted to get paid. You left and you didn't get paid. So you'll be getting paid the same time we're paying, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, or we're paying Shaq Barrett, or we're paying who we want to move forward with. You know, I think the Jets have tremendous stability. And listen, Jamal, you don't have to talk every time somebody asks you a question. You don't have to talk every time somebody put a microphone in your face, man. Sometimes you can say, I pass, man. I'm just going to let my play do my talking for me. Now let me get acclimated to my teammates. Just quit trying to put stuff out there, bro.
I love former Jets who had success with the Jets going at him right now this way. Nick Mangold, yourself, other. I love that because that shows that there is some pride in that uniform, in that logo. It's there. It's there. And all I want are people that can buy into that pride and want to be part of change. Like, again, Nick Mangold, Brick, you. A lot of you guys were part of saying, I'll turn the Jets into a winner. I don't Rex was like that too. Yeah. I don't care what people say about, don't give me the same old Jets. It ain't us. We ain't the same old Jets. But if you want to be a guy that's like, this is too hard. It's just, I can't handle this. I want out. All right, well, you're not tough enough then. Peace. You want to hear about Antonio Brown and a suspension? Or do you want to hear positive news from Dr. Anthony Fauci?
Well, let's end on positive news. Let's start on interesting news, which would be Antonio Brown, because you heard Harbaugh say that, hey, I love to get what you want, Lamar Jackson. You got power here. You the reigning MVP, and we ain't paying you nothing.
Fair.
And I don't think he's available. That's what Harbaugh said to Lamar.
Yeah, and it's correct. He will not be available at least for the first half of the season, as it was announced that he will be suspended for 8 games by the NFL for violating the league's personal conduct policy. He is obviously a free agent, not signed with anyone. Only played the one game with the Patriots before they released him. And, you know, he's had some issues off the field, of course. Yep. And he's gone from saying he wants to retire to saying he wants to play. And It was interesting that Lamar Jackson would speak up. Now, they've been working out, I thought, right? Didn't they spend some time working out?
Well, they've been working out. And remember, Hollywood is his Antonio Brown's cousin. Or his cousin.
Yes, that's right.
So he's like, hey, they've been working out with each other all offseason. So a synergy there. Could you imagine if the Ravens with Hollywood, with getting the kid Dobbins from Ohio State with the tight ends that they have. And then you add Antonio Brown with Hollywood Brown, so now you have two deep threats and you have the best route runner in the game. I think it may be worth it because you can give Antonio Brown a lesser contract because you're only going to have him for 8 games. But guess what? That means he's going to be fresh. That means also that he's going to stay away from the team, so he should be okay to be stay away from COVID. So, like, he should be somebody that if anybody, any of your position players get struck by COVID, he's waiting in the bullpen waiting to come out. So, I mean, it's interesting to me. I would give him another chance, especially if he's going to come here on a shut-up-and-prove-it deal just so that he can play and have an opportunity at a Super Bowl with people that he's been playing with. This can be interesting, man. This could be a story that we may have to circle back and say, hey, the Ravens either did a good job by signing him or they should have signed him because they fell short again.
Hmm. Let's hope we get to that point where he is – 8 weeks through his suspension, the NFL is still playing.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying. And maybe there's availability. I don't know what he's got left. I don't know if I'd want to bring him in my locker room, to be honest with you. Come on. I don't know if I want to bring him in my locker room.
No, of course, of course.
I've also seen Terrell Owens run a 4.4, all right, at 100 years old. So
No. I saw him running routes. He's only 32. I'm talking about him running routes. When he came back and he was here last year, it's not like he's been retired forever. He just didn't play last year.
I'm not talking about what he's got left physically. Is he a guy that I can count on week after week, man? See, I don't know if I can.
But that's the thing. If you sign him, you don't have to count on him. He's a luxury.
Like the Patriots, I get it.
Yeah, you don't have. So if he messes up, you cut him. First sign of anything, you cut him. And he has his cousin there, so you will hope he would try and be a role model for his cousin. And the Ravens are those type of organizations. Like if you say he's going to the Patriots.
I thought the Patriots were the same way, though. Weren't they the same thing?
I know. And then he jacked up, right? And they got rid of him. Yeah. Right, but I trust him better in those environments, and I trust him better in the environment with Seattle as well, because that's one of those organizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Well, let's go. Good news.
We will. And Nets and the Magic playing right now, underway. Tip off at 2:30. So Nets are up 24-22. Nick did give us his seven guys. It's Jared Allen, Joe Harris, Garrett Temple, Chris. Is it Chioza? I don't even know that name. Tyler Johnson. Yeah, Chioza. He spelled it wrong. Rodion Kurucs and Timothy Caribou. We'll see. But thanks for at least making the effort. All right, last but not least, in 30 seconds, why positivity? Why should we hold out hope? Why just keep wearing the mask? Stick to it? Because Dr. Fauci continues to reassure people, including Congress, that the U.S. will likely have a safe and effective coronavirus vaccine by the end of this year or early 2021.
Yes.
So we're getting closer. Hang in there, everybody. We're getting closer. We're also getting closer to a weekend K-Show coming up next. Bart, I'll see you next week.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.